you're saying June 12th this year would be the better date, and that's just great information to have. So thank you very much for your explanation, Brian.
Okay, and this is Brian. I just want to be sure I'm clear. You will still be paid for the services after you bill for the services. The only question is which funds the service bills would be paid against. So I don't want you to be worried that if you don't get a bill in by June 12th, that you won't be getting paid, because you would get paid. It's just a matter of which of the budget years it goes against. So you're welcome. I just don't want anybody to be overly anxious. I think there's a lot of, you know, concern, and this is not one you need to have. Chris, this is Brian. You wanted to ask something?
No, I just wanted to suggest that if Sue could, I will send Sue an email about the specifics of her billing, if you just to let her know.
So Kyle, with your
question, but I want to thank you first for your explanation again.
Services,
and I know that the June 12th date. I know that we're trying to use money that we have allocated. Go ahead, sir.
So I understand that because of the COVID-19, there's been an impact on the budget. So my question is that which financial year? Suppose we provide services on June 20th, and that's past the June 12th deadline. I just want to make sure. I want to know which budget is coming from, or if there's going to be an effect in the monies that we were allocated due to the COVID-19 and the issues that have come up as a result of that.
The budget for this program, and barring any update that Andrew will be giving that might have something more current that I might not otherwise be aware of, the allotment for next year is the same amount of funding that is allotted for the current year. So there should not be an issue in terms of concern for having sufficient funding available to cover those 2 weeks of June services that might end up being paid out of next year's budget. This budget, as you all know, has had some difficulties in past years, even prior to COVID, in expending all of the funds. So I truly don't have any concern that if 2 weeks of June service get paid during the month of July out of the new year, I do not have a concern that it would have a negative impact on the availability of funding for services in fiscal 21. And in fact, that is the next agenda item. So with your permission, Madam Chair, I would like to actually go straight into that agenda item.
Go for it. Give us the limit and budget update.
So I'd like to speak for a moment about the agenda item, fiscal year 21 community service inclusion plan. Chris Lavson has done significant due diligence in identifying 5 individuals that could potentially benefit from from services, and the contracts allow for us to add new clients to the CAN contract. And Chris has actually already called a meeting of the work group of the Deafblind Advisory Committee to discuss these new clients. So I'd like Chris to have an opportunity now to update us all on where things are at.
Sure. Thank you, Brian. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The staff of the Adult Services Program have collaborated both with Children's Services and with our Vocational Rehab Program to identify five new clients, all of whom would qualify as persons with deafblindness and would be eligible for services. I've given brief descriptions of I've let Sue Pedersen know about these five clients and the likely needs that they would have for SSP services. For example, three of them are currently college students here in Connecticut. One is someone who lives independently down on the shoreline in Clinton, and another recently came to our attention who is a 50-year-old VR client in Danbury. And so we've given these sort of identified these clients to CAN, which is the vendor that would be able to add new clients to their contract. They, as only about 50% of the funds were used this year, I think it's pretty likely that CAN could certainly get a good start on assisting these clients without needing to revise the budget at all at the beginning of the year. And in fact, yesterday, Tara Brown Ogilvie, late yesterday, sent me the particulars of yet another client in Connecticut who we're trying to get listed on our registry of persons with legal blindness, and it's a possibility that we'd be also referring him for services. So so it's a little unusual that we have such a large number of referrals here right at the end of the fiscal year, but we're very happy that we've been able to identify these folks and look forward to adding them to the list of persons to be served by CAN.
So this is Brian. To bring things back to the overall fiscal year 21 budget, as we are approaching the new fiscal year, we do still have some uncertainty about when close contact services will be resuming, therefore when activities such as camps would also be resuming. There is in the governor's executive order some instructions pertaining to day camps, non-residential camps, which may begin in July with social distancing requirements, capacity restrictions, and other safety protocols. So if there were some camps that chose to operate during this summer that could fulfill those restrictions that are in place, there would potentially be the possibility for individuals served through this funding, particularly through Oak Hill, to then have those camping opportunities. However, as of today, I have not been informed that Oak Hill is intending to operate those camps. If that changes and the camps were, for instance, to resume later in the summer, we would certainly have to look toward using New Year dollars to pay for those camps if we're not told before the cutoff date in June that the camps would occur in the summer. Keeping in mind, the contract says that we pay for the registration, and typically the registrations would occur during the month of June, and those payments would occur in June. I am not concerned that we will run out of funding based on the current allotted level for FY21. Again, we don't know with absolute certainty at this moment what the budget for the agency will be in FY21, and that is because we don't know if there are any discussions about adjustments to budgets. Andrew will, when he gives an update, let us know if there's anything more current than what I have. But what we are being told right now is that most of the vendors have already switched over to offering camps remotely rather than in person for this summer. And part of the reason for that is there's months of advanced planning that needs to occur for a camp to actually happen during the summer. And because of the COVID-19 restrictions, some of those plans could not proceed. And so now many of the vendors we work with are offering camps in a virtual way using computer-based technologies to gather groups of individuals together from the safety of their own homes. So I just want to say that as we speak today, our plans for when the services can be resumed or for the new clients implemented in a close contact way still remain undetermined. And I will promise to share as soon as I know with all of the contracted vendors when close contact services can resume. But I think we want to have the most current update.
Brian, I'm sorry for interrupting. I just want to let you know that we lost our captioner for a short time. Her power went out, and they are working to reinstate the captioning as soon as possible. So if anybody lost it, it should be starting up very soon. Thank you.
Pat, can you tell me if that means that the meeting needs to stop until the captioning has resumed?
The captioning has been off for a few minutes right away. I guess that would be a question to ask Jesse if he's comfortable with the meeting continuing.
Yes, this is Jesse here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, can you see me? Oh, okay. Sorry. This is Jesse. Yes, we can continue with the meeting. Everything is fine. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So the next agenda item is COVID-19 updates. And some of these updates, I think, have been covered as we've proceeded through the meeting, and I do want to have this agenda item allow for additional feedback if anybody who has items they'd like to put forth in addition to what Lisa has put forth. I would like to just again reiterate that right now our instructions come through the governor's office. They are the lead entity for the instructions that come out on the reopening of Connecticut. So there's been some requests raised of us about some personal protective equipment and whether we could procure that equipment directly. And the answer is that we will only be able to obtain that which we are authorized to obtain. We, as a bureau within an agency that's within the executive branch of government, can't on our own proceed with making a decision that we want this particular type of personal protective equipment, and we are therefore just going to, on our own, make that purchase. We have been provided with masks for employees that are coming to the building, but very few employees are coming to the building right now. Very few. On any given day, at most there would be possibly five people in the building. When we are allowed to resume in the building, there will be restrictions in place to maintain social distancing. So we will have to implement strategies on the occupancy of the building and how we will go about having visitors in the building. But there will have to be protocols around that. So at this point, we certainly know, and the functional needs work group knows about vendors that sell masks that are clear. And we recognize the importance of masks that are clear for those who need to visually see facial expressions and lip movement in order to have effective communication. But we are awaiting approval or supply of masks that would address that need. I just wouldn't want anyone on this meeting to be of the opinion that Besby and his staff are unresponsive to these requests. We have followed the protocols that are in place to pass those requests to the functional needs group chaired by Kathleen Sullivan, and she has in turn passed those requests onto the work group that focuses on the provision of personal protective equipment. So I just wanted to cover that. And at this point, I do wish to open up this aspect of the agenda for any comments, recommendations, or questions that the membership has related to COVID-19.
We have comments from Zoom. Jesse has a comment, as well as Lisa Flaherty-Vaughn. We'll start with Jesse. Okay. Thank you, Brian, for your explanation about the PPE. I was also wondering if there's anything in process for deaf-blind persons because of the social distancing that you had mentioned. You can't do any in-person or close contact services. So what are your thoughts? Because a deaf-blind person who may be going shopping or may have a doctor's appointment requires a close contact. Do you have any suggestions how we can deal with this issue?
Thank you for that question, Jesse. This is Brian. My response would be that to the extent that remote technologies could be utilized either directly or through the help of an SSP to, for instance, order groceries for delivery. I know of one particular large supermarket chain that does offer an online shopping option with a home delivery option available so that the groceries are provided without the shopper ever needing to leave their home. I would suggest that we could, you know, be of assistance in facilitating the provision of those adaptive technologies for those who need them, or perhaps through our new employee, Margie, come up with some strategies to be of assistance in helping a person fulfill the ordering of those products. I also believe there are some pharmacies that are also providing delivery services. I know the pharmacy I go to, they have signage right there about delivery options. I feel that for doctor's offices, many of them right now are not seeing patients in the office unless it's an urgent issue. They are seeing patients remotely. I can speak for the experiences of my own son, who has numerous doctors as a part of his life, and they're having their appointments with him through technology such as Zoom. They are not having him go. And when he had to go to the hospital for a follow-up, the protocols in place were tremendously strict, and felt that, frankly, even though he needed to have some accommodations in order to utilize his wheelchair independently, they were not going to back away from their protocol. So he was unable to manually operate his own wheelchair because they required he had to have a mask. And he operates his wheelchair through a sip and puff joystick. So we are finding that safety protocols are being first and foremost enforced ahead of every other consideration to stop the spread of the virus. So unfortunately for right now, where we are in the reopen plan, we are moving in a direction where there will be some easements as we go forward, but we're just not yet at a point where close contact types of services where there's touch involved are ones that I can offer you an alternative, unless, of course, it falls into one of those very specific categories that's covered through the executive order.
This is Lisa. Hi, this is Lisa through Zoom. Thank you, Thank you, Brian. I just want to make sure that this is very, very clear to everyone. This at times this can be a little bit confusing, because we're required to have the social distancing. We're able to meet today, which is great. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do that before. But in my role as a deafblind individual, I became incredibly disconnected as a result of this social distancing the governor was requiring. It was pretty shocking to me. And you're talking about having the five new clients and bringing them in, but without having an SSP or not having the training for the SSP for, you know, setting up safety protocols for the SSPs as a result of this COVID-19. That's concerning to me. We need to make sure that people are safe. We can't have close contact. People do need to remain at a distance. Touch is not allowed. So for me, this is very, very confusing. I'm really having a difficult time understanding it. Whether touch is allowed or not allowed, it's a very confusing time right now, but it's also a concern of mine as well. I just wanted you all to be aware of that. And I believe we also have Jason has a comment as well.
Can I please respond?
Hi, everyone.
Can I please respond?
Jason, oh, hold on 1 second. Brian, hold on 1 second. Again, this is Jason from Maryland, and we do also have social distancing as well. I have seen a lot of frustration within the deaf-blind community, also because of Braille and some websites that have been set that, unfortunately, access is not allowed. The pictures have not been clear. There are not descriptions of the pictures. So, unfortunately, those websites that you were talking about, while the technology is there, they're not accessible to deaf-blind persons because they haven't followed the protocols for disability requirements. So there are sometimes you can actually have a friend go, send a list, and they can go and make the purchase for you. But for deaf-blind persons to leave the house has been very difficult. We've had discussions with with the governor here in Maryland for guidelines for our SSPs if a person needs to go to a hospital or another place. If the person is deaf-blind, gloves need to be used, masks need to be used, and some SSPs prefer actually to use a full face shield when working with the deafblind consumers here in Maryland, because it allows them to see everything, but it can reduce the concerns about the COVID being spread through someone's breathing because they have the full face on. So I understand that there are rules, but at the same time, and we need to encourage people to be safe with those rules, but some flexibility is actually necessary to deal with some of these issues. Also, one of the recommendations that the Maryland governor approved a bill a couple, 3 years ago that allowed us to set up home communication facilitation. We call that our CF, or communication facilitation in home. So if you're having difficulty with relay, or if you're unable to see sign language through the video phone or have an interpreter, we actually can have a person come into our home to provide that interpretation. This program will be started in fiscal year 21, and a program similar to that would probably be a wonderful benefit for Connecticut. I just wanted to put that information out there as well. And I'll set Brian on the Zoom comments.
Okay, thank you. This is Brian. Thank you for those comments. They're very, very helpful and very much appreciated. I believe that the COVID-19 crisis fell upon the nation, certainly upon our state, very rapidly. In the middle of March, we, on a Friday, went home from work, and by Monday morning, we were finding ourselves implementing telework for 80-something employees in our own bureau, and that played out across all of state government. It became an overwhelming pandemic that required substantial, rapid response, and unfortunately, that some of the examples you're bringing up speak to the urgency by which the safety protocol had to be put in place to preserve life. And now as we're moving forward into a reopening phase, I'm hopeful that will be sooner rather than later at a point where we can safely resume many of these important services. I want to assure you and I truly want to assure you that I am very, very aware of the hardships that COVID-19 has presented to not only the deafblind community, but to the blind community and to those, you know, such as my son, who have significant physical disabilities. It has been a tremendous lifestyle adjustment for a great many individuals with challenges. And I hear your recommendations, and to the extent that we can implement changes and also learn from what we've experienced so that, God forbid, if there ever was something like this again, we would be at the ready with other protocols that we would have an ability to implement rapidly. I think that those are all things that this learning experience will allow for. But I just wanted to finally say, you know, that please understand your points are valid, they are heard, and we are hopeful that we can have things put in place into the future that will resolve these things for a long time to come. Thank you.
We also have a comment from Stu Pedersen on Zoom as well. Okay. Hi, thank you. This is Sue. Again, from Communication Advocacy Network. And I just want you to know that we are aware of all of the safety protocols. We have 8 SSP providers who are willing to work and help our deafblind consumers through this COVID-19 pandemic. They feel comfortable going out with a mask on and bringing some of the consumers out to go food shopping or doctor's appointments. They do have to sit in the back. They need to have their masks on. Most of the deafblind consumers have been getting a lot of help from their families as well. But I'm also very happy for Lisa and Jesse and Jason as well, that I wanted to be sure that we are aware of the needs of the deafblind person. And we are trying to do everything we can, still following the protocols, but being able to provide the support as necessary. We were able to receive a grant to get a trainer for our SSP. So if we ever hire new SSPs, we will be able to train them to meet your needs to working with our deafblind consumers. And we also appreciate the feedback that we have received, as well as trying to keep you informed as we move forward through this. Unfortunately, we do also have to follow the governor's protocols, and we are doing as best we can. And we are as concerned about your safety as well as our employees' safeties as well. But we definitely appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Okay, this is Hannah Tyler, the chair. I just wanted to alert you. It is almost 12 o'clock, maybe a couple minutes. Brian, I don't know if the translators stop at 12, but it is getting to a closing time.
Hannah, if I may, Pat Clark, can I ask a question, because it was kind of through the technical difficulties that we got a fairly delayed start. I believe the chairperson didn't get a chance to call the meeting to order until 12:20. Are we able to, you know, continue on because of that?
Sure, yes.
Okay.
We'd have to check with the interpreters to see whether or not they're available.
Okay, mm-hmm. Could you please let us know then? Hold on while we get the answer.
Hold on, let me... Sarah. Oh.
Go ahead, Sarah.
This is Sarah. sorry, this is Sarah D'Agostino, one of the interpreters. I would be able to remain on the call until 12:30, but I would have to leave at 12:30.
Hi, and this is Kyle Hydash. I need to leave at 12:15 for another appointment.
Okay, could we continue?
This is the captioner, Chevelle. I would also be able to stay on until 12:30.
Okay, so my understanding, Pat, is we must have two interpreters. Is that correct?
We could check to see whether or not Sarah would be able to cover for the last 15 minutes alone, but that would be her decision.
This is Sarah. Yes. In the interest of the technology and everything that everybody has gone through to set this meeting up, I absolutely would be able to continue the final 15 minutes on my own. Definitely.
Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate it.
Through your agenda.
Thank you all. So, Hannah, I guess to answer your question, since we had to delay the start of the meeting, unless there's any objection from any of the membership to continue, I would recommend that you continue on. Open it up to see if anybody objects to continuing the agenda and go from there.
Okay, so does anyone have any questions? Well,
This is Al. I apologize, but I have to leave. I have another meeting at noon, so unless we need to take a vote and there's no quorum, I'm going to have to excuse myself.
So, Al, you're not objecting to the meeting continuing.
I have no objection because I'm not going to be here, so there's no point in my objecting. But I just have to leave.
Okay, there is still a quorum, but thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Alan.
This is Karen Olson. I just wanted to let you know that Tracy Luiselli had to leave, so if there are any more votes coming up, I will vote in her stead.
Hey, this is Brian. Thank you for letting us know. Yes, you are her official designee, so for quorum purposes, still allow for that vote. Thank you.
Brian?
Yes.
This is Barbara. I can only stay on until 12:15. So it's the same thing. If we need a quorum, I don't know how that will affect that.
Yeah, we have a pretty strong quorum at the moment, so I think we will be okay.
Okay.
Okay, Hannah. I guess the next item on the agenda is Andrew Norton and his legislative and budget update.
Yes, I apologize for jumping into that earlier, but let's get to that legislation and budget update. Andrew?
Hello. Maybe mercifully, in the interest of time, I don't really have much to report. Aging and Disability Services had a bill with really just some minor changes in the law we were anticipating asking for. And then also, just as an aside, the advisory group for persons who are deaf and hard of hearing was working on a couple of ideas. They got a lot done on the education front last year, but there was one more idea they were looking into. But again, the legislature went home in mid-March with the idea that for 4 days they were going to do a deep scrubbing of the building and then come back. They have never come back. A handful of legislators came back in the first week of May to officially adjourn the session. So they have, in effect, transacted almost no business. You know that the governor has delegated powers for 6 months to act in an emergency, so that holds true for a few more months. I think they do want to get back to pass a budget. And of course, now there's a lot of interest in coming back to address policing and policing protocols because of the recent huge controversy across the whole country. But I don't know when the legislature is going to reconvene even to pass a couple of big items, but I don't think they'll be pursuing the bills that we were interested in, And so the legislature, for the first time in a long, long, long time, really had no session in effect. Again, they got a few items of business before they went home done, but not much. And it really will be mostly, and for most people's ideas for legislation, see you next year. So that's kind of my report.
Thank you.